Hello and welcome back to Corporate Strategy, the podcast that could have been an email. I am Bruce.
And I am Clark in the Dark.
Clark in the Dark is right. You don't know what today's episode is about at all, do you?
This seems to be a recurring trend that I just have no clue what's going on. But hey, yeah. I'm in. Let's do it.
So last week, we took like a week off, right? Because of work. We had work engagements we had to do. But previously, we took a look at the career advice subreddit for questions. And we said we were going to do that until we had a good idea for an episode, to which I invite today we do. Today, Clark, we're going to talk about NFTs.
Oh, no. NFTs. Do you even know what they are, Bruce?
What if I just told you that was a trick and you passed the test? You passed, Clark, because today we're actually going to talk about saying no.
Well, technically I said, oh, no.
You said,
hey,
oh,
you
no.
Know what? I'll take that.
Your reaction was exactly what I was looking for. You had a gut feeling that this is not a good idea and immediately exclaimed, oh, no. And in our industry, I think a lot of people struggle with taking that gut feeling and putting it out there in any kind of audio or understood format. Saying no is really hard. It's really hard. It's a skill, I would argue. And it's one that I'm still not a master of, but I'm getting better.
I don't think I am either. I think I've built a reputation a lot of places that I've been as being a yes man. And we've talked about this previously, like why you do that, you know, to climb that corporate ladder and all that fun stuff. But I agree. It's not saying like no and being a jerk. And I think we're going to get into this. It's like, there's a way to say no where everybody leaves happy. And we can talk about that.
There is, I think people treat no, and a lot of this can be cultural too. You know, when you're working in an industry that goes beyond America, Europe, Asia, Australia, all the countries, no has different connotations in different places too. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about some experiences you and I have had, as well as what our hot tips are for when it is appropriate to say no, how to say no, and then any other thoughts we have on the power of that word. So let's start with what no isn't. Because people can absolutely abuse that word. I feel like it's...
Oh, for sure.
When you tell someone no, before the word escapes your mouth, the first thing that has to be going on in the back of your mind is, why? Like, I feel like those words are almost inherently tied together, no and why. Because if you say no and you offer no further explanation, suddenly you are a b-hole.
Oh, for sure. It's so funny you say that. I just had one of the weirdest things come to mind, like in my professional career. I don't remember what the exact context was, but I remember who said it and I remember the way they said it. And I basically was just like, yeah, we should do this, this, and this. And I don't know if they were having a bad day or what. They looked at me and they just said, no. That was it. And I was like, you care to like elaborate a little bit of like what, why you're saying no?
And my like, stomach just shrank hearing that story.
It didn't get any better. It literally turned into just no. And then it turned into, we don't do that here. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That's the perfect example.
Yeah, it is such a good example. Do you want me to go into details on it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Why not? Let's jump in. Because it's kind of coming back to me. I just when you brought up this like this topic, and obviously I had no idea what we were going to talk about going in, but I'm thank God it's not NFTs because I still don't get them. You know, we're going to be a laughing stock of the podcast community in like 10 years when NFTs is like common currency.
We'll see how we monopoly money around our lives. They're going to be like looking at this episode and be like, ah, that jerk Bruce pulled one over, but now who's the fool?
Or maybe we'll be prophets. I don't know. Maybe everyone else will get duped and we'll be the soul holders on. So we can never do NFTs is what I just said. So you and I, Bruce,
we're saying stuck. No to NFTs. On
we are saying no NFTs. so let's dive into this specific example. I think it was around, it's very product management focused clash with another organization. So obviously when you're a product manager, you work very closely with project management. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of, as a product manager, helping with the what and the why. And the project managers are defining the when and making sure the project is on time and on budget. And I remember, I think it came up as we weren't quite ready to launch, but I was like, I think we're good enough. Like, I think we have enough here. It's functional. There's no breaking issues. It's a little bit, you know, clunky, which is why some people are hesitant. But I think it's good enough to put it out there. Let's learn. And then in 3 weeks when we release again, let's update it. Like, it'll be good. And I remember talking to this individual, and I remember bringing up this idea because we were cutting down to the wire. And I was like, hey, let's just launch it. And it was one of my first major releases at the company. And yeah, she just looked at me and she's like, no. And it was like a very abrasive no. It wasn't like a no, like questionable. It was very like hard, no. And I was like, I was very put off because I was still pretty new. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I thought we had a good relationship. I thought everything was good. Like, do you see any issues? And she basically said, we don't do that here of putting something out there that's not 100% complete. All the user stories aren't done. It doesn't meet all of it. But I'm like, yeah, but I made those user stories and I'm saying this is good enough. So we should be good to go, right? And she really put her foot down. So it was a very wrong way. I think it's a good example of what not to do when you're saying no. Because I think, you know, we did end up pulling through and getting all the work done in time for the release, funny enough, and it was fine. So it was just unnecessary strife. And it just caused a lot of stress in my life because I'm like, wow, is this what I have to expect anytime I want to do something that's, you know, ultimately going to meet our goals of what we're trying to do here and learn? But she was very adamant. So yeah, I think it was a very wrong way to go about saying no.
I want to diagnose that a little bit too, because you said, and your reaction was one of shock because you thought you had a good relationship with this person.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. Your response to her saying no is, whoa, I thought we had a good relationship. Like, that's how powerful that was.
Yeah.
In that moment it was delivered to you is like, it made you question the core of what you and that person think about each other and know about each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, you poise that same situation. And if she was just to say, I don't know, and just to pose it that way, that would have totally changed the tone. And then I would have heard her out and we would have had a productive conversation. But the fact that it just came off as like a brash no set the precedence for our relationship. And it was concerning to say the least. I was like, wow, this is not going to be an easy person to work with, even though I thought we were going to be fine. So. Right. Yeah, it definitely was a bad situation that cut into our rapport.
I think that response, when you're giving a hard no, which is like what the person in your example gave, the only time the hard no is ever appropriate is when it's like an ethical HR level issue. You know, we don't have to really get into the details there, but it's like hard no. When the person you are giving that hard no to is either breaking the law or they're being untoward, or, you know, it's outside of the professional workplace environment. The behavior has gone, you know, it's bordering on like criminal.
Right.
That's the only time the hard no is ever really acceptable.
Right. I think where it's like crossing a line, like to your point, it's like, yeah, whether it's, you know,
breach of ethics, you know,
breach of ethics, something that's just not right. And you know, it's not right. You know, or if someone's, it could even be as simple as, you know, I would say no in an abrasive way if, like, you know, someone's not being respectful of time even. Like, let's say you go over to a meeting for like 15 minutes and you're like, all right, let's just stay on to like do this. And I know my team has other commitments and like they're being pressured into this. I'd probably stand up and be like, no, we're going to have to schedule another meeting. Like, and we all know it. I think you've been in quite a few too, mm-hmm. where you're in a meeting and someone is literally doing that. They're just abusing everyone's time to, you know, accomplish whatever they're doing instead of just saying,
right.
All right, I'm going to respect your time and we're going to set up some more time to do this, or I'm going to solve it in a chat. And that's a time where I think, you know, where, especially if you have team members who are on it, you can step in and be kind of the bad guy, if you will. And it's for a logical reason that person probably needs to learn.
Bad guy for one, but like the hero for the rest of the room.
Exactly.
And I think, I like that you said crossing a line, you know, going past that boundary, any kind of breach of ethics. That's the acceptable hard no. But in your example, I could easily be that person and have the same exact outcome, which basically says, whoa, that's a really good idea. I like your aggression. I like how excited you are to get this out there and get feedback. Let's think about that. Usually we don't do things this way, but because of how you've approached this, we might be able to make an exception. So let me do some research and find out if this is something we can do. Otherwise, we'll think about how we can approach this kind of thing in the future.
Right.
I basically exactly. just told you, no, I got to do research or ask, but I'm not being like aggressive. I'm not dismissing your idea. In fact, I'm repeating it back to you to let you know that I heard it. And though I don't know, I just feel like there is no, so I mean, much more you could that, do.
I just than said that. No to kind of. I just said no to say no. I mean,
no. Anyways, yeah, I agree. To your
exact, yeah, exactly. No, to your point though, like the words you just said, you did a couple of things with that statement. You showed that you were willing to listen to what I had to say. You repeated it back to me, so I know you understood it. And that made me feel, okay, they understand me. They understand my approach and why like I want to do right. that. So you're kind of building that empathy. And then you followed it up with kindly saying, I need to go back and do some research and, you know, come up with a different or come up with a plan for this that could work with how we typically do things. And all that right there, even though you didn't give me a direct answer, you still made me feel validated. You showed empathy. You kept our relationship strong. And, you know, you did say no. In the end, you kind of did shut me down without me even feeling bad afterwards. I respect that. And I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. Like, and then we can discuss it, you know, tomorrow or something like that together.
There is a subtle irony to this as well, which is you can't just say yes either.
Right.
Like, as someone who does not have all the power of the corporate universe, I can't just say yes to every idea that slides my way. There has to be a balance and a waiting and a considering of all these things. So, you know, it never should be a yes or a no. Now, there are times, and the reason I actually like thought about this episode today and like why we should talk about no is there are times when you are going to have to say no. Like, mm-hmm. like in your meeting example, another perfect example where someone is being disrespectful. They're taking advantage of you and other people's time. The proper no to get out of that situation is probably a strong, hard no, cutting it off and then moving on. That person needs coaching as well.
Right.
Because that's just inappropriate sort of professional behavior as well. But let's say someone sends you an email and they're saying, hey, Clark, I need you to take on this new project. I know there's a lot going on right now, but I'd really appreciate it if you could do this for me as well. And there is no way in heck you are going to actually be able to do this. So how do you say no to that person?
So I feel like as a product manager, I'm kind of a pro at saying no.
Uh-huh.
And the reason being is because I kind of have to be. You know, I have to prioritize the roadmap and protect, you know, the priorities that are going to be important to the business, you know, feature right. development and product development. So I have to be strict about that. We can't do everything. You know, we have limited resources. We have, you know, time crunches that are supporting major, you know, business initiatives. There's many reasons why we prioritize our roadmap. And you can't get distracted by every new shiny thing or every new request that comes in, no matter who it comes from. And so a lot of like what product management is stakeholder management. I mean, I know I have countless jobs where people from all across the organization would have thousands of ideas for this platform and like what to do to improve it. But we had to execute on a roadmap. So I basically had to master, how do we say no? And I don't think it's just no. I think there's three answers to a new request, right? It's mm-hmm. yes, because you're going to take it on and you're going to do it. It's no. And then it's a yes, but not now is a good way to put it.
Right.
And so the way that I kind of handle things like that, like new projects coming in, I always look at it in terms of, you know, if it's a new feature request or whatever it might be for an existing product, I'll be like, okay, A, does it align with something we have coming up? Like, can I find something that I can slide this into where it makes sense? And I can kind of let them know that, you know, hey, Bruce, I appreciate this request. And actually, funny enough, you know, in Q3, we have a project that sounds like it accommodates this use case. I'm happy to kind of walk you through what we're trying to do there and essentially show you how this could essentially work for what you're asking. And a lot of the times that's saying, you know, not now, but later we'll be able to do it. So it's a nice way of saying no that makes them feel validated. And then there are situations where, you know, it's something that is a no, but it might be like because we've tried it in the past or something like that. And I'll basically bring up to them of saying, hey, you know, we actually tried this 3 years ago, and we realized that, you know, consumers or users didn't actually benefit from that. And we have the data to kind of back it up. And I'm happy to walk you through the results of that test we ran. So at this point, we don't feel like we should pursue this any further, but happy to run you through it and let me know if you see a different angle on this or if you want us to run some more tests to try it differently. So that's another way of just saying flat out no and proving to them, you know, we have a way of proving that this is not a good approach, but also telling them like we have the data. So happy to walk you through it shows, hey, I'm happy to spend time with you to show you what we did and how it didn't work out for us the way you think it might. So that's another good way to say no, where it's like, I'm willing to take the time to walk you through what we did, take in your input and show you the results.
That, you know, it gets back to the point I made pretty early on, is you always need to pair a no with a why.
Yep.
If you don't Absolutely. Have the data, if you don't have the anecdotal evidence or the story or the reasoning to the no, it's just going to come off as standoffish or insubordinate. But as soon as you back that up with something, and I think the powerful thing about no also is you don't have to say it. Instead, you can say, we've tried this before, and here's some data around this. I think at this time, it's probably best if we don't proceed down this path again. Like, I didn't ever say the word no, but I gave them the no, and it's kind of irrefutable at that point, and they can't do it.
There's another no, and then I want your perspective. This one's kind of bad, but I've used it on occasion.
I'm hoping it's the same as mine, so go.
I'll jump into kind of asking questions that are not easy to answer. And so, for example, if someone brings something up, I'll kind of point that. Do you have any data to kind of back that up? Or do you have any ideas of like competitors in the market that are using this strategy? And, you know, sometimes that just kills things in general because they're like, oh, okay, you know, I'm not going to spend the time to do this. But sometimes people actually do. It ends up being a pretty valid point. But that's another tactic that I use, you know, if I can tell they're not going to let off easy and, you know, they haven't really thought this through, but they still want to keep pushing because they think they should and they don't want to take my answer, I'll kind of jump into that to try to, you know, entertain them a bit. But ultimately, I'm just trying to get them to lay off.
Yeah, I'll give you the level up version of this. When you're a true master, and this is what I'm actually working on. This is a skill and an ability that if our listeners can do it, bless you, you are going to go so far in your life. But when someone comes to you with an ask and your gut reaction is to say no, you can ask them questions, like Clark said, to get them, you know, get them a little razzled. I mean, you're basically having a fight with words at this point. But, you know, you want to kind of knock them off balance. Better than that, spin the ask around and put it back on them. If you have the ability, so let's say someone says, hey, Bruce, I need you to go off and write this blog based on this thing that I've done. I say, man, that's a great idea. I love the idea of having a blog paired with your asset here. I think this is phenomenal. And honestly, I'm not going to be able to do this justice. If anything, I think your words are going to be even more powerful. What I can do for you is actually put you in contact with the person who publishes blogs, and we can get your words put on there. And I think that will go so much further.
My goodness.
If you can sell that, if you can make that work, suddenly the world is your oyster. And the more you practice and the more you do it, the more it's verbal jujitsu, because you're taking their momentum and spinning it around and putting it right back on them. Yeah. But if you can do that, the leveled up no is the most powerful corporate weapon you might have at your disposal.
It's very true. It's very true. I feel like the only thing you have to be careful with there is, you know, if you're kind of leading them down a path that you know isn't going to go anywhere, like if you kind of know their objective, right? Like if it's to get a promotion or if it's to get more visibility, and you kind of are just leading them onto something that doesn't really matter. But I guess if they're passionate about it, it's okay. I'm like at a moral dilemma between the two.
So, and I'll give my example is based on many that I run into on a day-to-day basis. And I'll back that up with a little flavor, because I think you're right. If you just become a mass manipulator, then you're a sociopath, and that's not acceptable either.
I think if I did that to someone, I'd feel bad. I'd be like, oh man, I'm sorry.
I bet you so many of our listeners, all two of our listeners think, Bruce is a sociopath, and that's fine. I will qualify what I say. So I don't just jujitsu words on everyone like that. I will say generally when I employ this method, it's because either one, I know that in this situation, this is not a fruitful activity for me to do. If I was, and we talked about this in a previous episode, like, what do you work on? If I was excited about this, if I thought this blog was going to generate like thousands of hits and lead to a series of white papers and closures on deals, then heck yeah, I'm going to take the work on and do it. But if my quick mental check on, does this actually move the needle in a positive direction for Bruce, says no, is this person going to leave me alone if I tell them no? Okay, now I have to employ the verbal jujitsu. And I don't think anything I just said made me sound any less a sociopath if that's the kind of mentality I'm having, conversation based on conversation. But I do think there is a time and a place to employ that. And we've talked about this before too. In the larger corporate enterprises out there, you get a lot of people that just want to cash in the check day in, day out. They're not interested in doing the job and doing the work, and they will push their work onto anyone that will do it. And unfortunately, I deal with this a lot in my job, in my industry. So I have had to become the master of this. Otherwise, I would actually, my performance would suffer because I'd be doing a bunch of crap that yields no positive results and not focusing on the big ideas that we talked about in our years 2 to 5 episode that instead I focus my attention and work on.
Right. No, that's a really good point. I mean, I don't disagree with you. And I think, you know, to add another tidbit to what you said, I want our listeners, you know, especially those early in their career, to flip that situation on its head. If you bring something to someone and they do that to you, you know, you just have to be cautious. Because I think I did do that. I'm thinking really back to my career, like, I would approach someone with an idea and they would entertain it exactly like that. And there's like a balance as a leader, you know, I see it now. It's like you want them to continue to stay, you know, motivated and focused, and you want to encourage those things that they're passionate about. It's just like being a parent, I guess. I wouldn't know because I'm not a parent. But anyways, I think it's still interesting to think about that. It's like you're going to go to these leaders and they're going to probably allow you to do something that they know isn't going to be too beneficial if you're passionate about it, which is like a double-edged sword, because it's like you kind of have to sift through, like we've talked about in previous episodes. It's like, what does success mean in my role? Mm-hmm. What work or things that I take on are going to bring value? And you can't just judge that off of, you know, someone being enthusiastic about your idea. I think you really need to think of like what the outputs are of that activity and how it's going to affect the business at the end of the day, and or the team, you know, the efficiency of the team, which ultimately will be more efficient for the business. So I think, you know, if you are in that situation where you're super passionate about this bunch of stuff and your leaders keep on encouraging you, don't feel like that's going to lead to your promotion or success in the corporate chain. It's more or less they're just trying to make sure you don't lose that fire.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to all the points you made, there's always have to consider the perception of you, right? Like there is a perception of you in the work that you do that others around you see. And I'm sure some people do think like, oh, that Bruce, he's a little bit of a manipulator. Like, you know, he's gonna, if I go to him, there's a chance that this may turn around on me. And I kind of want that. So that is part of my brand. I want people to think before they ask me to do something like, oh, is this worth interrupting the big rock he's working on to do my little rock of a thing? So I do think it also has to do with place where you are in your career, what motivates you, what you want to work on, how you want to be perceived to be worked with.
Right.
There's a lot of factors there. And it's all... it all hinges on the power of you saying no in some way, shape, or form.
It's true. Yeah, I agree.
So it's crazy. You think about like that word, it carries so much weight, so much weight. And it is how business operates. I remember back when I was in sales, like no was often a very clear indicator from a customer perspective. When I'm selling, you know, hey, are you interested in, you know, cloud S3 object storage? No, I'm not. It's like, ooh, this is good. I need to know what they don't care about so I can focus on what they do. So I would often try to get the no's, as many no's as I could in sales, because when you eliminate all the no's, that's when you find the yes. So yeah, like it even carries weight in a positive sense and can be very beneficial if you're developing marketing material. You do focus yeah, groups and focus testing. What are they reacting negatively to? What are they saying no to? Because that's the thing you do not ever want to do. So it's a powerful word.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to, because I think those are all really good strategies of like how to say no. And yeah, you mentioned something interesting that we talked about previously that I think would be good to like wrap up with, I guess, is like, when should you say no? So like a new mm-hmm, request comes in, you think of a new idea. Like, what are those quick filters that you put on in order to say no, or whether to decide to say yes or no? Because I think, like I said in the beginning, you know, I have been a yes man. I end up taking on too much, and, you know, it causes me to work more than I probably should. And I don't think, especially early on in my career, I took on the most important things. So how do you handle that? How do you put that lens on of saying, you know, yeah, I should do this and I should spend some time with this now, or, you know, no, I shouldn't do this at all, or, you know, I maybe should do this, but maybe I should do it later.
Again, I'm going to sound like a crazy person, but I do have a method for that as well. it's basically, I need to have more yeses than nos in my own mental conversation. So I'll say, does this, firstly, can I do this? Most important question. Do I can I actually do this?
Right.
And I don't mean like, because I don't have the talent or the ability or the intent. It's like, is this something Bruce does as part of his job or part of my responsibilities? If it's yes, next question. Is this going to benefit me in some way? Like, is this going to move the needle to getting me promoted, getting me a raise? Is this something I can point back to at review time and say, I did this? Or is this going to help my network? Is this going to make others around me value me more?
Right. It's the either benefit, that,
right,
or, you know, benefit those around you. Or to your point is, or does it, you know, build your rapport with this person by satisfying right, their requests, and they're going to be a good partner for you in the yep, future?
I will always say yes, if I can do it, to new people, people starting out in their careers, or people who just joined the company, because I want them to feel like they're not completely alone. I want to build that rapport and I want them to succeed. So I'll yeah, sometimes take a little more burden on for myself to help them. And then the last question, does it benefit the company? Mm-hmm. If it benefits me, if I can do it, but it doesn't benefit the company, we have to have another question there, because suddenly it's more about fluffing me or fluffing my resume, and it could be perceived as a waste to others. Right. And I don't, that can often be turned into a negative long-term as well.
So I was about to say, yeah, that could go one of two ways. Either you are super passionate about it, it doesn't directly, you know, help your company, but like people are supporting you to do it. And I think maybe another light you could put on to your point is like, maybe this doesn't help me in my role now, but does this, or will this help me in my career if I explore yes, this project? And then you can be a little selfish on company time, where you can be like, all right, you know, this isn't good for me now, but, you know, this is going to be great for me if I ever want to leave this place or go to that job or whatever it might be. So I think you have to ask that question too, if you don't, if you feel kind of on the edge because it doesn't exactly support the company, but you do have the buy-in from your leaders, it's like, well, you know, if they're saying okay, and I know this is going to help me long-term, maybe I should do it.
Yep. And those are the three acceptance criteria I have. I'm not sure what yours are, Clark.
I like it. No, that's I like your word too. Acceptance criteria, very, very.
I'm using a very product manager word for you there, trying to keep it in the ballpark. You know,
thank you for that.
I'm going to ask you to do some work after this, just so you
yeah, know. Oh man, you know, it's kind of funny. I totally forgot one of the no's, and this is like when someone you can't say no to comes to you. We haven't really talked about that. So like,
how have we not talked about this?
I know, right? How have we not? And so I'll go through my mental checks real quick. I think mine are pretty much exactly the same. Yeah. Does this request even make sense to go to me, or should I route it to someone else? Should I say, hey, this isn't really mine, but, you know, I'm happy to put you in contact with someone who can help you. I think the second thing is, yeah, do I have the capability? Is this like in my job description as well? Like, is this something that I can actually, you know, accomplish if they do think it's supposed to be me? The third thing I think it is like, yeah, how does this benefit my career? How does this benefit the company? And then lastly, it's like, well, you know, maybe it doesn't, but I have the support and it's going to help me long-term. I should do it. So I'm passionate about it. I want to do it. So I think those are my filters. But yeah, let's talk about the situation. So
the worst case scenario.
VP comes up to you and says, hey, Bruce, I need you to take on this extra project. Oh. And you don't want to say no, because that's the person who's approving your promotions. They're approving your bonuses. Like, it's a dangerous game. How do you handle that situation?
I'm in this situation right now. Can't say too much, but I will say I'm in this exact scenario, and it's not just VP. It's like I have VP asks, I have a CMO ask, and then I have CEO asks.
Oh my!
And they're all compounding. So the way I approach this, and you know, obviously I'm 10 years into my career. If you're listening to this and you're new, you'll never have to deal with this problem on the lower rungs of the ladder. And if you do, there's a serious problem with the structure of your company. But
yep.
One, you have to have the confidence to have an honest conversation with the person. Mm-hmm. Just because they're VPs or they're CMOs or CEOs does not mean they are not human just like you. I think a lot of times we get a little bit afraid almost, you know, we build up a vision of someone that they're larger than they are. And truthfully, they just make five times what you make. They're probably dumber than you, in all honesty. So
corporate strategy, baby.
Corporate strategy. We keep it real here. But I think keeping that in the back of your mind actually empowers you a little bit, right? Like if you walk into this conversation thinking, I actually know more than this person does, because you're closer to the products, you're closer to the things you're working on. When they come in asking you for something and you can't do it, or you don't have time to do it, or there's not enough bandwidth, the honest conversation needs to happen. Say, look, Mrs. VP, I think this is a great idea, but here's the challenge, and I need you to help me with this. Again, I'm turning it around on them. I need you to help me, because as much as I want to work on this, I have these other three priorities that I cannot give the attention to and focus on this all at the same time. So something has to get moved around. Can you help me move it? And then they're probably going to say, well, who's doing, you know, who are you doing X, Y, and Z thing for? And then you give them names. Oh, you know, Jerry asked for this demo I'm building over here. And, you know, Shanna was asking for this white paper. They're going to have a conversation with them. Suddenly, they're thinking like, do I want to disappoint these people or have a conversation that their thing isn't going to get done? Or am I such a megalomaniac VP that everything I say and want must come to fruition? In which case, I just say, okay, well, I'm going to let them know they're getting pushed because of this ask. You have to be a little bit brave and like being honest on what's going to happen, because working more hours, working weekends is not an acceptable answer to get it done.
Right.
Like, this is going to stop so I can do your ask. And I've had to have those conversations like this week, last week. And it's been very fun for me, because I'm just saying no to people for things I've been working on left and right. Like at least 10 people. I'm just like, sorry, I can't work on your project anymore because of our VP's ask. It will have to get back to this in February. And that's just that. Like, that is all there is to it. I'm not going to burn myself out and do this. But
yeah.
And I do apologize. I'm sorry. I take some of their burden that they should be doing. I pulled it up on myself and take the conversation on. But that's the way I approach that.
I think you handled it well. And you handled it very similar to how I would. And I think this goes back to even, you know, stakeholders in the product management space. I'm giving a very product management lens on this, but it kind of applies to everything. I don't have a lot of situations where, you know, a VP or someone asks me to do something and it's going to conflict with other people's work. It's pretty much usually just all their requests to me. And what I typically do, I take a very similar approach of saying, okay, well, that sounds great. Like, I'm happy to help with this. Exactly like you said, like positive reinforcement. Tell them you're willing to help. And then I hit them with, but I'm also working on X, Y, and Z. What should I move out so I can make this a priority? And that brings to light very quickly of like, okay, you know, this person came to me, they said they were willing to help, and oh, I forgot, they're doing all this other stuff too. Because a lot of the times, you know, VPs or executives, they have a lot going on. So if you approach it that way, then you're putting it on them. You're exactly to your point, Bruce. It's like you're putting it back on the person to say, I'm already doing these three things. What do you want me to put this above, or what is going to suffer? And then as they start listing it out, you could be like, well, you wanted that presentation by next Tuesday for something on Thursday. Are you sure you want to move those around? And you make them make the hard choices.
Yep. And I think that's ultimately the key to saying no, is sharing that responsibility of burden with the other person. Ultimately, right. when you say no, you are taking the ask and pushing it back. So mm-hmm. it's that that's the muscle you got to build.
It's true. And yeah, I think I, you know, early in my career, for those people who might be in that situation, I definitely was a yes man. I worked the extra hours. I said yes to everything. And I wasted a lot of time doing things that had zero value, you know, to my career or, you know, to learning objectives that I needed. I just thought because I was saying yes and this person seemed important, that this would be a good thing for me to spend time on. But you really, like, the most important thing is your time. You have to protect your time. But go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to ask you a question. In your honest opinion, would you be where you are today had if you go back in time and correct little Clark's actions to make you say no more? Would it have impacted your career in the slightest?
I don't think so. I think I could have said no to many, many projects that I took on that just had zero value, but I spent a lot of time working on. And, you know, that being said, like, some of those I did learn things. And, you know, there's some, like, tangential benefits of that. But I think, to your point, it's like, I would have had a much better work-life balance. I could have spent more time exercising or doing things I wanted to do rather than working on those things.
Declined meetings to get an actual, do actual work.
Exactly.
Yeah. I agree. I'm the same way. If I ask that question back to myself, I could I could definitely go back in time and say no to quite a few things that produced no fruit for anybody.
Right.
And I'd still be where I am.
Yep. So keep that in mind, listeners.
That's the power.
Power of saying no.
The power of no. And I think that's the episode.
I think that's it.
Good job, Clark.
I feel good.
You just came in and, like, I gave you no description of what we were doing today.
None. I need to surprise you. You know, maybe that's what we do next episode. Maybe it's my turn. I already got an idea.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
Okay. You don't get to know what we're doing next episode. Listeners don't get to know unless you want to tweet me. Like, individuals slide into the DMs and you want to give me ideas. We can just spoof Bruce with the next one. So lay it on me.
Clark comes in with the power of yes. I'm going to rage quit the pod.
What if I come in with NFTs? You better study
it. Oh, boy. That would be educational for me because I struggle. I struggle. Anyways, thank you, Clark. Thank you as always for being my number two. I guess this is a shared responsibility. You're not my number two. You're just like a partner in crime.
Hey, I'm fine. I mean, I don't prepare at all. So if anything, I feel like I should be your number two. The Lord's
work. I'll be one, and you're like 0.9. All right,
you're doing the corporate God's work over there, Bruce.
Oh, don't remind me. If you'd like to be reminded on where you can reach out to us, we have not changed any of our information. You can reach us on Twitter at Corporate Strats, through email, questions@corporatestrategy.biz, or on LinkedIn. You can find me. I'm Bruce Bangers, and Clark is Clark Cheddar Movements. We are in all the places where you are. The question is, why aren't you talking to us? That is the question. And don't say no to us. Never say no to us. Only say yes to Corporate Strategy, the podcast. And I think that's it. So until next week, when Clark surprises us with our next topic, I'm Bruce.
And I'm Clark.
I'm struggling to think of who I was for a second there. You're on mute. We'll see you next week.